Let's read together Leviticus chapter 18. In this chapter, we have detailed laws concerning sexual relationships. God wanted sexual purity maintained and the family structure as he intended it maintained among his people. Leviticus chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to what is done in the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for theirs is their own nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten by your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are near of kin to her. It is wickedness. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her customary impurity. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things. For by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore you shall keep my ordinance. I am the Lord your God." Let's begin our study of Leviticus chapter 18 with some background notes. We saw in Leviticus chapter 17 how God's people were to conduct themselves so as to be free of ceremonial defilement. Now here in chapter 18, we see how God's people were to conduct themselves in order to maintain moral purity. Moral purity is very important to God, then and today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, "But as he called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Now, where in the Old Testament is it written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy"? You guessed it, here in the book of Leviticus. All of these sexual practices that are condemned in this chapter, Leviticus chapter 18, were practiced by both the people in Egypt, where they had come from, and by the people of Canaan, where they were going, as we see in verse 3. And then five more times in this chapter, the people are told not to defile themselves with these vile practices of the Canaanites. Verses 24, 26, 27, 29, and 30. And six times in the chapter, the phrase, "I am the Lord," is given for the authority behind the commands of this chapter. Verses 2, 4, 5, 6, 21, and 30. Now, the idea behind the phrase, I am the Lord, is not like a father barking out a command to his kids and then backing it up with, because I said so. No, it is more like a father laying out the do's and don'ts of family life to his children and backing it up with, because I am your father and I know what's best for you. Again, note that the authoritative phrase is not I am God, but I am the Lord, which emphasized God's loyal covenant-keeping relationship with his people. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this chapter, Leviticus chapter 18. Doctrinal point number one, God's word gives us guidelines for sanctioned marriages. God's word gives us guidelines for sanctioned marriages. This chapter is clearly divided into two sections. Verses 1 through 18 have to do with unacceptable marriages, and verses 19 through 30 have to do with unacceptable sexual behavior. The phrase uncover nakedness, used a number of times in this chapter, is a euphemism for have sexual relations with. Some of your Bibles, in fact, translate it that way. Unlawful or unsanctioned marriages is the primary thrust of this first section of the chapter. The stability and sanctity of marriage is very important to God because the family is the basic unit for society as God intended it. Dysfunctional marriages and families are a step toward the destruction of society. The main point of this section is that marriages between close relatives were not sanctioned under the law. Now, you might wonder why all of these various cases had to be listed, since you would think the one law against adultery and fornication would be good enough. The answer here is that adultery and fornication is not the primary subject of this first section of Leviticus 18. The subject is marriage between close relatives. All sex outside of marriage is wrong. But we see in this section of Leviticus 18 that marriage itself was wrong if it was between close relatives. Now, as we look at the different cases, we see that this included close blood relatives as well as close non-blood relatives. Why did God incorporate these regulations into the Mosaic Law? After all, there is nothing intrinsically evil about marriage between close relatives, as long as they are single or free from a former marriage because of death. Before the Mosaic Law, Cain and the other sons and daughters of Adam and Eve married close blood relatives, and Abraham married Sarah, who was his half-sister, according to Genesis chapter 20, and Jacob married two living sisters. Answer: in order to protect his people from the increasing genetic disorders that were associated with the offspring of close blood relative marriages, God made these regulations part of the Mosaic Law. But what about close non-blood marriages? There would be no genetic problem here, but think of all the built-in problems that would result from such close marriages, such as property rights and power grabs and disrespect and jealousies, as was in the case of Jacob's family, for example. The only exceptions to these forbidden marriages was in the case of the so-called levirate marriage, where the unmarried brother or nearest eligible male relative was to marry a deceased brother's widow if there was no heir. See Deuteronomy chapter 25 in this connection. These same guidelines for sanctioned marriages are followed today by societies with Christian roots, and thus many problems are avoided. God's word gives us guidelines for sanctioned marriages. Doctrinal point number two. God's word gives us boundaries for sexual practices. God's word gives us boundaries for sexual practices. Verses 19 through 27. The Rosh Shamra tablets are several thousand ancient tablets dating to the 15th century BC that were uncovered at the site of ancient Ugarit on the Syrian coast. These tablets prove the accuracy of this scripture concerning the sinful practices of the Canaanite nations that God judged at the time of Israel's conquest, including child sacrifice to Molech, verse 21. In these verses, God is informing his people that they too would be thrown out of the land if they got involved in these sinful practices. God is still against these sinful practices, regardless of what society says. The New Testament is clear that God has not changed his mind about homosexual behavior, for example. God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, makes it clear that God has not changed his standards, but all of these sinful practices may be forgiven. And in Christ, a new lifestyle is possible. God's word gives us boundaries for sexual practices. And now what about practical application from Leviticus chapter 18? Your morality is the fruit of your theology. Your morality is the fruit of your theology. These sinful practices of Leviticus chapter 18 that characterize the Canaanite nations are a graphic illustration of what the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 1. As man's concept of God was corrupted, so was his morality corrupted. I'm reading from Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. There you have the decline of man's theology. Now notice how man's morality follows and becomes degraded and corrupt. Romans 1, beginning now with verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. From Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 27. Now, it's significant that the last verse of Romans chapter 1 changes the past tense to the present tense, showing that these sinful practices of the ancient pagans are still practiced today, and God has not changed his mind about them. I'm reading Romans 1, verse 32. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, and not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Notice the change from the past tense in the first part of the chapter to right down to the present tense at the end of the chapter, showing that these sinful practices of the ancient pagans are still practiced today, and God has not changed his mind about them. It all starts with a concept of God who is not perfectly holy. Lower moral standards are sure to follow. If our nation takes God out of our schools and out of our government, we should not be surprised that moral standards are going downhill. Your morality is the fruit of your theology.